an appointed time, many of these same people are baptized, but not because they think they need to be saved, but because they're already saved, they believe. Now, is that what the Scripture teaches? If it is, then we're in error. And I'm a false teacher. It's not one way or the other. It can't be both ways. Can't be both ways. It's not going to be because I'm sincere or they're sincere and it doesn't really matter to God. No. We've got to hear the word of the truth of the gospel. But if it's true that you're saved before and without water baptism, then we're in error and we're lost. Because that's not what we teach. Because when we read the Scriptures, it says something very different than that. We don't want to ask, we're not going to ask anybody to believe it because we say it, but because Jesus says it. Because His Word says it. To trust Him, believe Him, because He's the Savior. He's the one we cry out to, Lord, save me. And part of that crying out to Him for salvation involves water baptism. Now, that's our belief, but we've got to establish that in Scripture. That's what we intend to do tonight. If you believe we misuse Scripture, then please, please show us that. Show me that. Because I'm the one up here doing the teaching. All right. So show me if I misapply. You may think you already know everything I'm going to say tonight. Please don't start in that position with me or anybody else. Let's let God's Word teach us again. Maybe for the first time, or strengthen and renew our faith in this subject of water baptism. You see, the Scripture says and teaches us that baptism is an appeal that the sinner makes. Lord, save me. Let me show you that in Acts 2, verse 21, quoting from the prophet Joel. On the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter, inspired by the Spirit of God, quotes Joel, the second chapter, and he makes a specific application to what was occurring on that day. And summing it up in verse 21, the prophecy says, "It shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Without a doubt, those who make a plea, make a petition, make an appeal, call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, what does that mean? The word call means to invoke or to cry out, just like Peter seeking, Lord, save me. Romans 10, 12 through 14 says that whoever calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. He makes the same application. So let's let Acts 2 explain that phrase and obey it. Surely Peter didn't quote that verse and then just leave it to them to decide what it means to call on the name of the Lord. How did they call on the name of the Lord in Acts 2nd chapter? Well, Peter established with them that Jesus is the Christ and they killed Him. And so they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 37. All right, now here's the apostle going to explain what it means to call on the name of the Lord to be saved. Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. God's calling sinners through the gospel to be saved, through His Son Jesus Christ to be saved. Now, those sinners have to call on God in the name of the Lord to be saved. How do you do that, Peter? What must we do? Pray a prayer and you'll be saved. Is that what Peter said? Look at it. Ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your personal Savior and you'll be saved. That's not what Peter said. Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Verse 41 says, they that received His word were baptized. And there were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. On the day of Pentecost, to call on the name of the Lord, as Joel said, to be saved, is applied by the apostle when people repented, believing Jesus is the Christ, they repented and were baptized. They were saved that day that way.
Now, if they were saved that day that way, you can be saved today that way.
If you want to call on the name of the Lord.
If you know you're a sinner and you know you're in trouble, you know you need to be saved because you're lost, you can call on Him today like they did then. Repent and be baptized if you believe Jesus is the Son of God, and you'll be saved. Understand, He didn't say, believe and you'll be saved, and we'll have a baptism day set up 3 weeks from now. That is not what He said. And that is not what they did. And that's not what we're going to do if we're going to follow the Bible. Well, note please with me. Without this plea, you will not be saved. Without this appeal that is made through a faith that is baptized, you will continue to be lost. Jesus said it, Mark 16 and verse 16. He said, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe will be condemned." Now, the believing is the gospel that's preached, verse 15.
Go and preach the gospel to the whole creation, to every creature. He that believes the gospel and is baptized will be saved.
So if I don't make this plea to God, this call on the name of the Lord, this petition, "Lord, save me," by believing Jesus is the Son of God and being baptized, I'll remain lost. I'll remain condemned in my sin. I'll be an unbeliever. You say, "Oh, wait a minute. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe He arose from the dead. Isn't that enough to save me?" No, it's not. Demons believe. James 2:19, but they're lost. Jesus said there's something along with belief. And that's the essential problem. And you know, there are preachers on TV that make people feel good, give them a warm, fuzzy feeling, and say, "Oh, well, that's just wonderful preaching that convince people that if they just believe in Jesus, God will save them. Just have faith in Jesus, pray Him, ask Him into your life." I saw a commercial just the other day, I'm sure you have too if you watch any TV. "Just ask Jesus into your heart, you'll be saved." The fellow there on that script, he said, "I'll send you a Bible now that you're saved." That's not what the Scripture said. Remember Acts 2:38? He said, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Christ, unto the remission of your sins." In order to. For. Not because of. You're not baptized because you have remission of sins. You're baptized for. In order to obtain remission of sins. You see? It's not hard to understand unless you want to misunderstand it. And the devil wants you to misunderstand it. And if we've misunderstood it, then show us the way of truth. Look at Acts 16:30-34 with you. The Philippian jailer was about to commit suicide until Paul said, "Don't harm yourself. All the prisoners are here. They have not escaped." After that great earthquake and the bars, the doors of the prison were open, the man got a light, ran in, and fell at the feet of Paul and Silas and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He was told, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved, you and your household." Well, there it is, preacher. All you need to do is believe. Is that right? Well, let's see. Of course, this man knew nothing about Jesus, did he? So, what happened? They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all that were in his house. Now, when they spoke the word of the Lord to him, do you think they told him how to call on the name of the Lord to be saved? Like Peter did in Acts 2? I expect they did. Because if he didn't know how to call on the name of the Lord, how would he be saved, even if he did believe? And so, they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all of his house, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. Well, why would he do that? Well, he's had a change of mind now, hasn't he? Well, that's what repentance is. A change of heart. And immediately he and his family were baptized. Well, why would they do that? Because you see, Acts 2:38, we already learned, as well as Mark 16:16, He wanted to be saved. He wanted a remission of his sins. That was his question. What must I do to be saved? Well, believe in the Lord. But when you believe in the Lord, what's going to happen? You're going to believe in His Word. And when His Word says, he that believes and is baptized will be saved, what are you going to do? You're going to obey it. Why? Here's the purpose. To be saved. Not to do some work that earns salvation, but to trust Jesus to save you by His grace. Because you have faith in Him to do what He says to do. I mean, you have faith to believe He says to do that. Why not have faith to also be baptized? And to repent and to confess your faith. He says those things as well. You see? What happened to this man? So he heard the Word. He believed it. He repented. Immediately he was baptized. And verse 34 says, when he brought food, when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. His faith was complete in the matter of hearing the word of Jesus, believing he's the Son of God, repenting and being baptized. There's the fullness of faith. Not a demonic faith that believes God exists, but a complete faith like Abraham, who heard the Word of God, believed it, and obeyed it. Now, you've heard the Word of God so far tonight. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. If you're not a Christian, you're in trouble. You're sinking. You're drowning in sin. You're lost. And the wages of sin is eternal damnation. Eternal death. The Lord says, call on me and I'll save you. Believe and be baptized. You can do that immediately, just like they did tonight. Because you see, the Lord doesn't describe baptism as a ceremony that we appoint every so often for people who are already saved to go through, but as an action of faith, of humble submission to the will of God, to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, to be saved by His grace through our faith. So you see, baptism is an appeal for salvation, as we noted in Mark 16:16, but also 1 Peter 3:21. It simply says, baptism now saves us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. You know how I heard one Baptist explain that one time? He said, there it is right there. Baptism is not essential. He says, baptism now saves us not. Now, you talk about perverting a scripture. Read the text. Just as water, eight souls were saved through water, verse 7, Noah and his house, he says, even so the like figure, baptism now saves us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. It's not an outward washing of the body that is the power and the significance, but the appeal of a good conscience toward God. And we'll get back to that in a moment. Baptism now saves us. Now, my friend, listen carefully. Because many denominations believe you are saved before and without being baptized. But this verse says baptism saves us. It can't be both ways. We can't believe we're saved and go through a baptismal ceremony and think we've satisfied the will of God. Because I have acted in a way that says, I believe I'm saved without being baptized. But the Scripture says, baptism saves us. Now, do I really believe Jesus enough to follow His Word and the reason He gives, the why behind the commandment? That's the call. That's the appeal of baptism, is an appeal to God to save me. And He says He will when I believe and when I'm baptized. Baptism is an appeal for mercy. We need mercy. Oh, how we need the mercy of God, because we have sinned against Him. And in our sin, we have shamefully treated the Son. We have despised the goodness of God through our sin. We've been unloving, ungodly, unrighteous.
unmerciful. We need mercy. Titus 3, 4 through 7, our scripture reading speaks of God's mercy, God's grace that saves us. We need that to be forgiven because we cannot forgive ourselves. Acts 2, 37 and 38, remission of sins, the blotting out of our sins is by the good grace of God to save us from death as the Philippian jailer. What must I do to be saved? I can't be righteous and save myself. I've already sinned. Is there anything I can do? Some say, well, no, there's nothing you can do. Well, wait a minute. Jesus said, do something, believe, and be baptized. He said to repent and to confess my faith. There's some things to be done, but you don't earn the right to be saved when you submit to His Word to obey Him. When we obey God, we're not earning anything. We're just being a servant. Jesus said, even so you also, when you've done everything commanded of you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We've only done that which was our duty to do. It's our duty to obey Jesus. And He explains why. Because you see, in our obedience to be baptized in water, He washes our sins away. Acts 22:16. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You say, so it's not a washing of the body that matters, it's a washing of the soul that matters. So in the water of baptism, we'll get to it, the blood of Jesus is obtained. We'll see that point. You see, that's where the mercy is found. God washes our sins away. We don't wash them away. God washes them away. It's an action of faith on our part to obtain it. It says, yes, arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins. You have something involved in the matter. You've got to submit to being baptized. But it's the power of Jesus that washes the sin away by His blood through His death to enter the kingdom. God, an appeal for mercy is an appeal that says, I want to be a part of the kingdom of God. Jesus said, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into enter into the kingdom of God. Not going to be in the kingdom without God's mercy. And that entrance, in part, involves water baptism. Acts 8 and verse 12, when the Samaritans believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. They believed what he said about the kingdom. But were they in the kingdom just by believing what he said, or by also submitting to the word of the gospel of the kingdom and being baptized? Well, by being baptized, because without water and spirit, you can't enter the kingdom. Baptism is involved in the merciful entrance into the kingdom of God by God's grace. Baptism is an appeal of faith. It's an appeal for grace and mercy. It's an appeal of faith toward God. Again, Mark 16, 15 and 16, that when the gospel is preached, he that believes it, there's faith, and is baptized, will be saved. Look at Acts 8 with me. The Ethiopian to whom Philip preached Jesus. Acts 8, 35. In the chariot, from the prophet Isaiah, he began to preach Jesus to the man. And they came upon a certain water, the scripture says. And verse 36, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What's hindering me? What hinders me from being baptized? When he preached Jesus, he preached baptism. You see that? How would he know about baptism except Philip told him about it when he preached Jesus? Well, what did he tell him about baptism when he preached Jesus? You think he preached what Jesus said about baptism? Well, what did Jesus say about baptism? He said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. That's what he said. So the man got the point. I need to be baptized to be saved. What's keeping me from it? Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. You see right there, he forever shuts the door on infant baptism. We don't baptize babies because babies don't believe. Babies have no sin. Those who practice infant baptism are preaching a false baptism,
giving false hope.
It's a false Jesus that teaches that. Now he said, if you believe, you can be baptized. And he said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He made the confession of Romans 10, 9 and 10. You know, Romans 10, 9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now a lot of people think Romans 10, 9 says, pray to God and you'll be saved. But prayer is not even in that verse. Prayer is not in Romans 10, 9. Confession of your faith is. The profession of your trust that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, when this believer confessed that, they stopped the chariot. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and Philip baptized him. Just as Jesus had said was necessary to be saved. Now, do you believe you were saved before you were baptized? If you do, you've believed the false gospel. In all sincerity, we want to encourage you to believe the true gospel and follow what Jesus says about the purpose and when one ought to be baptized. It's to be saved, not after you're saved. Believers are saved in Acts 18:8. Many of the Corinthians hearing the gospel, believed it, and were baptized. What happened? Well, then they were saved. Mark 16:16, just like Jesus said. Lydia, in Acts the 16th chapter, was judged to be faithful by the apostle because when she heard the gospel, her heart was open to it, and she and her household were baptized. She heard the gospel, she gave heed to the things spoken by Paul, and she then said, and they were baptized, and she begged them, saying, if you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. Well, now, we can necessarily conclude Paul judged her to be faithful. Faithful to the Lord. Why? Because she heard and believed the gospel and she gave heed to what was said. She was baptized. You see, if we don't give heed to what's said, then we're no different than the demons. They don't obey it. They don't give heed to it. They know it's there. They know it's true. They know Jesus is the Son of God, but they don't give heed to what He says. Do you? Do I? Romans 6:17 and 18, the apostle said, thanks be to God, that whereas we were servants of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Now remember, the Ethiopian was said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And now the Romans are told that you obeyed from the heart the doctrine to which you were delivered, the gospel that was preached to you. So when they obeyed from the heart the gospel that had been delivered to them, he says, you became free from sin and you became a servant of righteousness. A servant of sin who obeys from the heart the gospel, and now he serves righteousness. When was he saved? When he believed the message, or when he, believing it, obeyed it? When he believed it and obeyed it. Like the Corinthians, like Lydia, like the Ethiopian. Baptism is the appeal of faith. Trust in God. Trust in His Son to save us according to His Word. According to what He has said, that it will be so. Now let's go back to 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. Because you see, baptism is the appeal of a good conscience toward God. It says that in that verse. The idea of the appeal is, as we've been describing, it's an earnest seeking. It's a craving for. It's an earnest desire for something. He says baptism is just that. It is an earnest appeal of a good conscience toward God. See? You want a good conscience before God? Or what a good conscience does? A good conscience toward God
understands the presence of sin and understands that Jesus said, if you'll believe and be baptized, you'll be saved. And so, in this earnest seeking of the good conscience, it responds and is baptized. It's not the putting away the filth of the flesh. It is the answer or the appeal of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's the grace of God. The resurrection and power of Jesus as the Son of God will raise us out of the death of sin, will save us. And so it becomes the appeal of a good conscience toward God, so that we are now new creatures, purged of sin, brought out of the old world of sin into this new relationship with God. New creature in Christ. You're all sons of, or 2 Corinthians 5:17, we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. Or in 1 Peter 1, Peter had earlier said, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another with a fervent heart. So you purified your soul in obeying the truth. What truth, Peter? Well, one of the truths that he preached on Pentecost. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Remission of sins, there's the purification, there's the cleansing, there's the salvation. Baptism now saves you. Because it is the response of a good conscience toward God to be saved by His mercy and grace through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Can't be saved before that. You're saved because of that. Here's the purpose of the baptism. It's linked inseparably to God's power, to God's response of grace to the person of faith who submits to the will of Jesus. Romans 6, 3 and 4. Baptism is an appeal for a new life. It is the action of a person who says, I know that I'm in trouble. I know that I'm in sin. I know I'm lost. Jesus, I need you to... Lord, save me. As Peter said. Well, baptism plays a part in that cry for a new life in Jesus. Look what the verse says. Romans 6, 3. Or do you not know that as many of you as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. He says when we're baptized, verse 3, it's into Christ. I want to be in Christ. This new life is not outside of Christ, it's in Christ. So how do I get in Christ? What's the verse say? He says, you're baptized. You were, as many of you as were baptized into Christ. We don't believe, there's not a scripture that says, I believe into Christ, I pray into Christ, I repent into Christ. But there is one that says, I'm baptized into Christ. You want to be in Christ? Then be baptized into Christ. Don't believe you're in Christ before you're baptized, because it just doesn't work. Not according to the Scriptures. Look what else it says. This appeal for a new life is because I know that life can only be found in the death of Jesus. There's the paradox. Jesus dies so I can live. It's where His blood was shed, His death that gives life. As many as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death. The benefit of His death is found when one is baptized. It's obtained when one is baptized. Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins. What washes our sins away? Well, it's the blood of Jesus. It's His death. The action of faith puts us in contact with that saving blood. He says, verse 4, therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death. Death to sin. You see, we who died to sin, how shall we any longer live in it? Verse 2. That's his point. We're not to practice sin any longer. We died to sin. When did we die to sin? When we were baptized. Get that point? I don't die to sin when I believe, and that's it. He says, I die to sin when I'm baptized into Christ, into His death. That's when I die to sin, and I'm raised to walk in a new life. Paul talked about it as a circumcision, as a cutting away of the body of the sins of the flesh. Circumcision and cutting away the excess flesh is a figure of what God accomplishes when we have the faith to be baptized into Christ. Colossians 2:11. In Him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. This is not a physical circumcision. It's one of the heart and it's one of the soul. When He says, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the working or in the operation of God who raised Him from the dead. God's operation, God's circumcision, is when we're baptized, buried with Christ in baptism. The sin is cut away. Look at verse 13. Here's the application. It's God who does this operation. God forgives the sin. The Lord saves us. But we've got to commit ourselves to being baptized into Him, buried with Him, because verse 13 says, you, being dead in your trespasses, that's before this operation of God, the circumcision of Christ that happens in baptism, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, that is, the Gentiles, He has made alive. He's made you alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. When does the text say the trespasses are forgiven? In the circumcision of Christ. And when does that happen? In baptism. In the operation of God that raises us from the death of sin to a newness of life. Quickened. Just as that flesh is quickened in the operation of the flesh, so the Spirit is renewed, quickened by the power of God when we're baptized, buried with Christ in baptism. Sin is cut away. A new life begins. That's why we need to be baptized to be saved. Otherwise, we're still dead. Dead in sin. Condemned to death. Eternally. Baptism is an appeal to be united with Christ. As that verse goes on in Romans the 6th chapter in verse 5, it says, even as we were united with Him in the likeness of His death, we're buried in water, even so also we shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. God raised Him from the dead, and He raises us from the death of sin when we're baptized to walk in newness of life. The Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. He was alive. New life, united with Jesus. You see, the relationship of fellowship is established with Christ not because I ask Him to come into my heart through a prayer, but when sin is removed from me by the power of His blood, when I'm baptized into His death, I'm raised to a new life. That's when the new life begins. That's when the relationship is established. That's when I put on Christ. Galatians 3. 26 and 27. You're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did what? You put on Christ. You don't put Him on because you believe. You don't put Him on because you pray. Paul prayed 3 days. Saul prayed 3 days and nights. And he was still without the blood of Jesus. He was still in his sin. And he was told, what are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized. We're baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit because you see it's by that power and authority of Jesus that we are brought into a saved relationship with God when we are baptized into His death. Not by a denomination into their church, but into Jesus by the authority of His Word and the power of His resurrection from the dead. Baptism is an appeal that justifies God.
In Luke the 7th chapter, 29 and 30, the people who submitted to John's baptism illustrate this point for us. In Luke 7, 29 and 30, it says that when all the people heard him, that is, heard Jesus, even the tax collectors justified God, having been baptized with the baptism of John. Now you see, Jesus had just explained John was the forerunner, the messenger of Messiah. He was a fulfillment of Malachi, the third and fourth chapters, Malachi 3, 1 and 2. And so when the people, the tax collectors and people heard this, they justified God. They declared that God is just. How? Having been baptized with the baptism of John.
Those who submitted to a baptism authorized by God declared God was righteous in the matter. Even Jesus submitting to, he said to John, "Let it be so, baptize me to fulfill all righteousness." You see, one reason to be baptized is to declare God is just. He has the right to tell me not only what to do, but why I do it, and to accomplish it by His grace, if I have the faith in His grace to obey what He says to do. But look also at verse 30.
The Pharisees and lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by Him. Who is it that rejected the Lord God but those who rejected baptism?
Those who refused baptism rejected the will of God. Is that where you want to be?
You want to be in that place, rejecting the will of God
by rejecting the appeal of baptism that justifies and declares God is righteous? Surely you don't. You see, baptism is the sinner's appeal to God.
And if you believe Jesus is the Son of God, you may be baptized tonight. The question of Scripture is, why are you waiting? If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, why are you waiting? Well, it might be that someone's convinced you you were already saved and you don't need to be baptized. Just you believed and that was enough. But we've shown in Scripture that's not enough. We've shown the purpose of water baptism in Scripture. Now again, Saul,
in Acts 22, he'd been praying 3 days. He was repentant, but he wasn't saved. Now, if Saul could pray 3 days and 3 nights, fasting in prayer, repentant of his sins, and yet be told, "What are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." The prayer wasn't calling on His name. The repentance wasn't the calling that would save. It was to get up and be baptized in faith and let the blood of Jesus be applied to your sins. Wash away your sins, calling on His name. There's the calling. If that's true of Him, it's true of every one of us. And the question comes to us, what are you waiting for? Saul needed to stop waiting and get busy acting in faith and obey the Lord and be baptized. If you receive His Word, then be baptized now. We don't have baptism ceremonies. We don't set a time and a date and said we're going to baptize the people who recently believed and saved in Jesus, and now we're going to baptize them. No, that's not what Scripture describes. Immediately, the same hour of the night, 2 a.m. in the morning, way past midnight. Whatever the exact time, it was way past midnight. And immediately they were baptized. You see? Well, with many other words, Peter exhorted and testified, saying in Acts 2 and verse 40, "Save yourselves," or "be saved from this perverse generation." They then that received His Word were baptized, and there were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. Brethren, this is a lesson you can take and you can teach your friend and your neighbor. To obey Jesus in faith now and be saved by His grace now. In the Bible way, Not a denomination way. Not a man-made way. Not a human wisdom way. Not a experiential way. But in faith, obtain His grace by obeying His Word. Jesus is the author of eternal salvation, Hebrews 5:9 says. He is the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey Him. Obeying the truth purifies our soul. 1 Peter 1:22. And so, be saved by grace through faith. If there's sin in your life, if you're not a Christian, be saved. You're in trouble. The Lord will save you. Just as surely as He reached out and He saved Peter from drowning that night in the Sea of Galilee, He will reach down and He will save you from your sin. If you have the faith to cry out to Him, call upon His name, repent in faith, confessing that faith, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. Won't you do that now while we stand and while we sing? Won't you come?